Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. It never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt. Want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemy. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like you, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. It's a heart that forgives, it's a heart that forgives. Do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go.
I'm sorry.
Which? I don't understand.
I'm not sure how to have a word with you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord. And you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started. So please don't let the time you stole be wasted.
Oh!
inside of this chest is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but we are broadcasting live from Manitoba, Canada, and we have a very special broadcast today. And my co-host is Pastor Ralph Beamish from Resurrection Life Ministries, Manitoba, Canada. And my next co-host is Pastor Christopher Malalami from Malawi, Africa, also representing Resurrection Life Ministry, Malawi. So I would like to share our topic for today, which is a very important topic that is dear to our hearts regarding depression and the spirit of heaviness. Our foundational scripture is coming from Isaiah, the 61st chapter and the 3rd verse. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to just read along with me, because during this broadcast, we're going to highlight the spirit of heaviness and expound on how it connects with the spirit of depression and the spirit of suicide. And we're also going to highlight some of the cohorts that work together with the spirit of depression and suicide. And beginning at verse 3, Isaiah 61, verse 3, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." So if you have been struggling with the spirit of heaviness, but you really don't understand what it is, if you're carrying something, like if you're carrying a heavy bag and it's just too heavy for you, it's a, you know, you can feel it and you may need help. You might have to ask, you know, a man or somebody else to help you carry that bag. Sometimes we carry heavy burdens because of the trials and the tribulations that we go through, and it's a little bit too much for you, and it begins to wear you down. It begins to create a negative atmosphere that is steeped with doubt and unbelief, and we take our eyes off of God, and we tend to focus on the problem, on the circumstances. And many times when people have been hurt, they have been wounded, they have been disappointed, they have been betrayed, they have been abandoned, they have been rejected, there are many contributing factors that lead people to enter into a world of depression. And the depression weighs so heavy on their mind, on their thoughts, that some people have suicidal thoughts. Some people actually have suicidal tendencies. And when we don't deal with the heaviness, the things that cause our hearts to be so burdened down, it can create an opportunity for the enemy to present negative thoughts to our minds that are contrary to the word of God. So today, Pastor Ralph is going to share his personal testimony. And before I open up the mic to introduce my guest, I have a poem that I would like to share that is directly related to this topic. And it's entitled, "Eloquently Speaking, He Laid on the Tracks." How was it that this one slipped through the cracks? Thoughts of black, hope was gone, a life taken too soon. A son, a brother, a father is gone. Alone, he died alone on the tracks. Why did I have to feel the impact? Why would anybody want to die like that? Why did I have to be on that train? Can't get those visions out of my brain. And for the conductor of the train, my heart hurts for him. I feel his pain. What did the enemy hope to gain by destroying this man's family, sending so much pain? My heart is full of disdain. A righteous indignation, it's about to reign. And my objective is to break every chain, exposure, education, and awareness. I have a hatred for Satan, and it's enormous. How did he think that he would get away with this? Listen closely while I try to make sense of this. Loneliness doesn't mean that you have to end this. Depression doesn't mean that it will always be like this. Please reach out for help, no matter how bad your situation is. No matter how bad your situation is, not helpless. Yes, I understand you may be homeless, but you made it this far. So continue to be fearless. Inside of you, I see a whole lot of greatness. And the love you have inside of you, wow, it is tremendous. So let's talk about a contingency plan, top of the line preparedness, someone to talk to and help take away the sadness, the numbness, the feelings of bitterness. This is not a time to be careless. You are here because guess what? God has a purpose and God has a plan. So if you feel like taking your life, please dial this phone number, please, if you can. And the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. So no matter where you are around the globe, if you are having suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies, even if you have in your mind created a plan, please dial in to this broadcast because we want to pray with you and we want to pray for you. But for those that need help, please dial, again, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 800-273-8255. So thank you so much. A lot of the things that I shared in the poem, it highlights some of the things that we're going to be talking about. So at this time, I would like to introduce Pastor Ralph and Pastor Christopher. How are you both doing?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Yes, God bless you.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you both for joining me today. And we're going to start with Pastor Ralph. I know that you have a wonderful testimony that you wanted to share with our listening audience. And I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay, well, thank you. The Lord bless you. And, yeah, my story starts, a lot of years ago, now 40, oh, I got to do the math yet, 45 years ago, I was fairly successful working at the major telephone company here, Manitoba Telephone System, it was called in those days. It's now since been bought out by Bell, but that's a whole other story. And so I was really, I had three sons, a wife, a wonderful wife, three sons, and everything was going good. And, you know, I was quite proud of the fact that I provided well for my wife and my children. And and I was doing very well and making plans to do even more, but I made a series of little mistakes that turned into one great big one. I wound up with a real estate problem that nobody wants. I wound up owning two houses, having two heating bills in the middle of winter, and just desperate. How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to? Because in the middle of winter, the house I wanted the most to sell was out in the country, and houses out in the country don't sell in Canada in the winter. They just don't. So I'm looking at running out of money, and anybody who knows anything about finance and business, they know when you start borrowing money to pay the interest on borrowed money, you're digging a hole really fast and really deep. And we're coming up on Christmas in 1977, and I've got no money, I start spending. I had one credit card for a company in Canada called Canadian Tire Corporation. They sell all kinds of household stuff, sporting goods, whatever, and household stuff. So if whatever you wanted for Christmas had better come from Canadian Tire, because I'm buying everything on this credit card, and no idea at all. It is really tough for me, because I've always been able to fix my own problems. I've always been able to come up with an answer, or, you know, I was proud of the fact that I was providing for my wife and providing quite well. I was what they called a network engineer with Manitoba Telephone System, and in those days that paid pretty well, certainly enough that we didn't have to have a second income. My wife did some kind of daycare stuff for some ladies, but we could get by without. That was just a bonus, and it gave her pocket money and whatever. So here we are. We're headed towards Christmas, and it's getting deeper and deeper in debt, and no idea what I can do anything different. I've done everything I know how to do. I've got a real estate agent working overtime trying to help me to get this house sold out in the country. And, you know, the weather's not cooperating. It's Manitoba. So I'm coming down to Christmas and the Christmas holidays, and I always arrange to have several days off during the holidays so I could spend it at home with the kids. And I just always did that. So I'd already scheduled my vacation for the Christmas season. But here I'm getting worse and worse. I'm getting more and more depressed. I'm carrying more weight than I know how to carry, and I've got problems that I have no answer in how to solve. I'm just getting more and more depressed. It gets down to the place where when I came home for the Christmas holidays, a couple days before Christmas, I came home from work. And just to give you an idea how black the spirit in me was, my wife happened to be, when I came home, at the sink, washing some dishes in the kitchen. And having never, ever given her any reason to fear me, I've never, you know, never struck her, never hit her, and rarely ever even spoke a cross word to her. And that day, this is how black the spirit in me was. She was terrified. She felt if she so much as spoke a word, I would tear her limb from limb. That's how black the spirit was in me and how bad it was. So she was happy when I didn't say anything and just hung my coat up and went off upstairs to my hobby room, and she was pleased that she didn't have to talk to me, because she was that afraid of me. I was in such a bad place. Well, that gives you an idea of where I was at. Now, over the holidays, we had planned or been invited to come down and visit with an Anglican in the U.S. that would be an Episcopalian pastor and his wife. We'd met many years earlier when Lynn had provided daycare for some of their children in a northern community in Manitoba called Woboden. And so we were acquainted, and we'd promised that we would come down and visit them over the holidays. So one day I'm thinking, if we don't go today, we've got other plans for the weekend, to celebrate the new year in a good even fashion. So I said to her, you know, if we don't go today, we're not going to get to go. And now this is a miracle. In 15 minutes, three kids dressed, everybody was dressed and in the car and ready to go in 15 minutes. Now, was God in it? It had never, ever happened, ever. So here we go off. Go visit these friends in an adjacent town called Carmen, and we go visit the pastor, and, well, they've got some company. So I kind of knew I wanted to talk to him, but it didn't happen. So finally, you know, the evening goes on, and, well, it's late, and we got to go home. So I go out and start the car and warm it up, and we say our goodbyes in the house, and I get in the car, pull away, and just out of sight of the house, because I'm behind the church building. He, being pastor, lived in a house provided by the church. So I pulled out down the street, thump, thump, thump. I got a flat tire. Well, yeah, what a pain. So I get out. I get the, in those days, a bumper jack. I get it out, and we're going to change the tire. I got a spare. But I can't find the tire iron. And I need the tire iron because it acts as the jack handle, so I can jack the car up to change the tire. I take everything out of the trunk, and I cannot find that tire iron. I literally, with a flashlight, crawled in the trunk to check the corners. Nowhere to be found. So now I have to go back to the house and borrow a tire iron. So I went back to the house and borrowed the tire iron from Graham. And so he had, and his friend came out to help me with change the tire. And it turned out that this tire iron that he had fit my car, but it was one that didn't fit his. So I had a tire iron provided by the Lord. And at the last minute, I said something that I would never have said in the past. But I said to him, you know, I think maybe the Lord wasn't ready for me to leave. And Graham said, you know what? Why don't you just step into the church here? And he said, I've got a couple of books to give you. Well, that's exactly what I did. I popped into the church. He gave me two books called The Holy Spirit in You by Dennis Bennett and 9 o'clock in the Morning by Dennis Bennett. This is a pastor and quite a leading teacher in the charismatic renewal at the time. And Graham prayed a real nice, innocuous Anglican prayer over me. and I head off home. So we get home, we celebrate the weekend, and we celebrate the New Year's like the heathen do. So it was like the 2nd of January, about late in the evening anyway. Lynn and the kids were gone to bed, and I picked up this the Holy Spirit knew and start reading. And as I'm reading, I'm excuse me, I'll take a sip here. I get this impression that it would be very important to be involved with praying for the Holy Spirit to come if you've been involved anywise in the occult or done anything like that. And I happened to have some books I was reading about a spirit called Seth and looking for answers in all the wrong places. And so I set these three books up in the fireplace, put a match to them, my first prophetic act, even though I didn't know there was such a thing, and went back and read this a salvation prayer that they'd provided in the book, and went off to bed. So I get up the next day, and, you know, I think even now when I think about it, it seemed like the sun was a little brighter. It was a better day, and a plain better day. And I didn't really think too much about it, but I got back up in my hobby room at 8 o'clock in the evening or so, and Lynn and the kids were tired. They went off to bed early. So I'm reading this 9 o'clock in the morning, which is the story of how Dennis Bennett and his family came into the charismatic renewal, into the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the stages. And I'm reading it. A natural gift I had, I could read several hundred words a minute with like 80% comprehension or something. And so I'm reading this book, and every time that one of these little events happened or this thing happened, and they attributed it to the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for somebody and they got saved or they got healed, or they started praying for people and they started receiving the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. And each time one of these events happens in their life, I'm getting happier and happier and just getting totally silly, tears coming into my eyes so fast that I can't keep my glasses clean. Because I'm very nearsighted, it was okay. I just took my glasses off and kept reading until the tears, and there were tears of joy. They weren't sad. I was so, finally, I couldn't continue to read. I couldn't keep the tears out of my eyes long enough to read anymore. I slid off the chair and laid on the floor, giggling and laughing and giggling and laughing some more. And it was just like I was laying on a beach with warm waves of unconditional love washing over me. Just time after time, I just kind of giggle and laugh until I could hardly do it anymore. And here'd come another wave of unconditional love. I knew that I was loved. Just, I don't know how to describe it, but what incredible joy it brought, having been so depressed to the point where when I shared my testimony some years later, I shared my testimony with a Christian psychiatrist counselor, and he said, at that time, he said, you were a suicide looking for a place to happen. He said, it was that, or one little more thing, and your mind couldn't have handled anymore, and you'd have snapped, and you'd have been a vegetable in an institution somewhere for the rest of your life. So that was how close I was either to being a suicide or to having a, you know, a complete mental nervous breakdown. So I've gone from that condition, as I described to you, and my wife, how she was terrified of me because of the black evil spirit that I was carrying. So I went from that to laying on the floor, giggling and laughing. So I wound up laying there for well over an hour, just wave after wave, and I just giggled and laughed all the harder. And finally, I said, I gotta talk to Graham, because I don't know anybody in the world who has any idea what's happening to me, except he and his wife, Shirley. So I get quiet long enough to call an operator and get their phone number, call them up, and Shirley answers the phone, and I said, "Hi, it's Ralph Beamish," and I giggled for 15 minutes. She knew what was going on, so she stayed with me on the phone, and Graham came on the phone later to say he'd been out on a call in the parish, and so he explains to me a little bit more about what's going on. And I said, "You've got to explain this to Lynn, because if she finds me like this, she's going to think I've gone absolutely bonkers crazy, because this is not the husband that went up there to the hobby room hours before." So I called her, got her on the extension downstairs, and Graham explained to her how what was happening. And he's not gone crazy. This is really a good thing that's happened to him. So you ought to be afraid of it. It's a good thing. And then he planned to come up within the week. He was coming up to do some hospital visits in Winnipeg. So he said, "I'll come by the house and I'll talk to you and just explain this a little more to you." Anyway, all of that happened. He came about a week later. And when he asked Lynn, my late wife, she's now been past 8 years, asked her if she would like to invite Jesus into her life. Well, she didn't even hesitate. She had seen such a drastic change in me that whatever it was I had, she wanted it. So she asked for it to be born again and filled with the Spirit. And wow, things started to happen in our lives. Our boys started getting on a church bus, and we're going to church. And within 3 weeks, we had an offer on the house out in the country when no one was buying houses in the country. And we had an offer that would clear off all of our debt. We would be, we had no surplus, but we didn't have this whole debt or the second heating bill. So we're all of a sudden, we're laughing and praying and going to church and learning how to pray in the Spirit, and just so full of joy. Just everything was going wonderfully well. And all of, backing up a little bit in the story, I said I was working for Manitoba Telephone System. Well, there was a charismatic Mennonite who worked there, and the Lord had asked him, this was sometime, couple of months before Christmas, to pray for someone at MTS who was suicidal. He does that. He prays for somebody at MTS who's suicidal. And one day he's flipping to through our internal phone book, and the Lord highlights a name in the phone book, and he says, "This is who you're praying for." So now all of a sudden knows he can pray for Ralph Beamish. So he's praying for Ralph Beamish. Well, as the Lord arranged circumstances, I was invited to a full gospel businessman's breakfast. And when I come in there, I've seen this guy before. I see him in the cafeteria, and I notice that he prays over his lunch before he eats. And so I walk up to this guy, and I said, and he had a name tag on. I said, "Hi, Jake, I'm Ralph Beamish." Well, there's this long pause. Well, he catches his breath. Here's this guy that he's been praying for is in a full gospel businessman's breakfast meeting. Wow. So we became fast friends, and we used to go walking at lunch hour pretty much every day, and what a blessing that was to have associated with him, but to have known that he'd been praying for me for several months at least, and how the Lord had answered his prayers. And now this is 45 years ago in January. In January coming up, it'll be 46 years since I was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I've never experienced any kind of depression ever since. When I have a need, I know where to go. I know who has answers, and I no longer that pride that was such an issue for me, being so proud of my own ability, has never come up again, because now I know just how much I needed Jesus and how much I needed the help of the Holy Spirit. So that's been my 45 years. And when it came down to my wife passing away, I knew for sure where she was going. There was no doubt about that. And when she made a choice not to pursue a really long and arduous surgery, which might have saved her from death from cancer, she chose not to. She chose not to. And in the 9 months we had after that, I had this awesome, the Lord showed me two books in particular, both written more than 100 years ago. And both of these ladies had visited heaven, and both of them had seen nurseries in heaven. Well, my wife was the ultimate mother. She was awesome mother to my three sons, and she was mother to so many other mothers' children. She was doing like daycare work for them. The Lord was showing me that her whole training was that of being a mother, and that when she got to heaven, she'd be working in the nurseries in heaven, comforting children who were stillborn or aborted, who needed to be loved until they were able to go to school. And they also both talked about seeing Jesus teaching children and playing with them. And so I knew, even when she passed, that she was going to heaven, and she was going to do what she'd learned to do her whole life, and that was to love up on children. And even her passing had to handle the Lord in it. I got the call from the hospital to say, you need to get here. And this is at like 5 o'clock in the morning because her breathing is getting pretty rough. So I got there and she had just passed. And I looked at the clock and it says 5:55. Well, 5 being the number of grace, 3 the number of God. This means this is the grace of God. She's gone. It's the grace of God. And yes, I grieved, but not, as it says in Scripture, not as the heathen do. I missed her very much, but I knew where she was. I knew what she was doing, and no depression. Like I said, no awesome or no really serious kind of depression or grieving. It was healthy grieving. And these 8 years later, I know exactly where she is, and I know what she's doing and what a blessing it is. And in the meantime, now the Lord's given me a whole new career. I got involved with Resurrection Life Ministries here. And after a couple of years, they mentioned that they, we think we'd like to ordain you. So I had a call on my life, and I knew it from many, many years back, but never had opportunity to pursue it and wasn't looking to. And all of a sudden, here's the Lord fulfilling the calling on my life. So I was ordained as Pastor Stacy was just a couple of days ago. I was ordained into the ministry. And so I've been teaching and helping in the ministry here ever since. Even now, the presence of the Holy Spirit is causing me, I like to say, my face is leaking. The tears are coming to my eyes, and I'm just overwhelmed with the joy of his salvation, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and the joy knowing, where my late wife is and what she's doing and what a blessing it is that, I no longer grieve for her. And when I do stop to think about her, it's always with great joy. So that's 45 years ago. And I don't know what the next few years are going to look like, but whatever they look like, I'm going to keep on going. There's just no more stopping. I'll just keep going, full of joy. So, Stacy, that's kind of my testimony.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. And I have a question before I turn the mic over to Pastor Christopher. And we do have a caller on the line that would like to share as well. So I'll introduce them after Christopher. We're going to dialogue a little bit, and then I'll open up the mic to bring author Mike Smith on the line. He's been listening, and he's going to join the discussion. But Pastor Ralph, I'm so blessed by your testimony, and I thank you for how you took your time to explain everything that you went through. And my question is, why was it important for you to share your testimony? Like, what do you want? How do you want this broadcast to affect others that may be going through what you went through?
Okay, yeah. It's very Pastor Christopher, he's passing me a tissue to wipe my eyes. They're just weeping down. Yeah, I want to encourage you, if you're listening to the broadcast, that if you're praying for someone who is depressed, keep praying for them. God, he may not use you to help them receive Jesus or be filled with the Spirit, but he will send even a total stranger to pray and get them into heaven. And he'll use whatever he can to get you into a place where you choose to be saved, choose to be born again, and are filled with the joy of the Spirit. And I want you to know, no matter how depressed you are, that there is a kind of joy that's, well, in one place Scripture says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a joy that so totally overcomes depression that you can be totally free from depression. You can enjoy life again. So if you are in that place of being depressed, the Holy Spirit can lift you up, fill you with joy, and become that joy becomes your strength. So all through these years, even when there, you know, my life wasn't perfect, there were lots of opportunities for stress and for trouble, but every time when it got down to it, the bottom line was there was the joy of the Lord, and it really is strength. So I'm trusting that in sharing my testimony, there's someone out there who's experiencing deep depression, maybe has suicidal thoughts, or is, you know, on the verge of breaking down, having an emotional breakdown. I want you to know that there's help with the Lord Jesus. There is an abundance of the joy of the Holy Spirit available to those who will believe and call on his name. So,
amen.
If that's where you're at, I want you to know that Jesus has an answer for you. He can do miracles. He can sell a house in a snowbank in the middle of winter when it seems like it's impossible. And he can bring you a level of comfort when you've lost a loved one that is totally unique. So even in losing my wife, the grieving was not a depression. It was not a grieving, a great loss, but it was really, it was a rejoicing that I knew where she was and what she was doing. And the lasting memories are only the joyful memories. So, yeah, if you're listening, call on the name of Jesus. Call on him and ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and joy. Okay, Stacy?
Okay, yes. Thank you, Pastor Ralph, so much. That was beautiful. Okay, Pastor Christopher, we're going to turn the mic over to you. If you have some questions for Pastor Ralph, please present them, or if there's anything God is leading you to say at this time to open up the conversation as well, please feel free to do so. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Stetson. Well, again, thank you so much, Pastor Love. That has been a very wonderful testimony that you have shared with us. I had some questions we are talking about depression. I just wanted maybe to ask somebody to give us a definition of depression before I go further. But I would like just to add on what Pastor Love shared here. He just got himself in a situation because of the decisions that he had made in his life, the decisions that he were influenced by his own desires. He never listened from God. He was, I would put it right to say, he was not a child of God. So most of the decisions that he made in life were not based on the plans of God.
Amen.
But were the decisions that he made out of the influence of the flesh, to put it in short. So as he was explaining, the Lord was bringing me the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses from 1 to 11. This is a story of the Jews when they went into captivity, and they went into captivity because of their own actions, so to say, because the messed up things, because they went on their way. They never listened. They never obeyed God, so to say. But now God, through Jeremiah, brought a message of hope. He says, even if it is by your own making that you find yourself in captivity, but still more, when it comes to verse 11, it says, but still more, I have got better plans for you. So this is what was coming in my mind. So look, Lafayette made some decisions in life, and those decisions, he just found himself in a total mess that he couldn't know, or he couldn't see a door or either a way out.
Amen.
But now, still more, God had plans. Even if he made the decisions out of his flesh, but still more, God had plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are the people created by God. Sometimes we mess up things. Sometimes we find ourselves in a total depression, total darkness. And sometimes we lose hope, so to say. We find no hope in whatever we do, or whatever is happening around us does not give us hope at all. But it's still more, God has hope. And I thank God, as Pastor Raf has put it, to say, there's something that happened along the way that caught him attention to seek the face of God. You know, there, we always in life, as God is saying in Jeremiah, he says, after 70 years, God's plans were that the Jews would go back to their homeland. Now, when I look at that time frame, there's always a time that one has in that state of depression. Depression has not come to stay. It's not a permanent thing upon the life of a person. Yeah. It has got a period, a time whereby it expires. So as Laf was explaining, to say, time came whereby he met the love of God, and that was the end of depression.
Amen.
So we thank God, as he was explaining, to say, depression is a thing that really takes the life of a person, or kills somebody, so to say. It's a channel that the enemy uses to eliminate so many lives of people. But as servants of God, or as Pastor Laf has put it, to say, if we are really praying on having people who are so much depressed in our society, in our in churches, or either people have made such kind of decisions that they have found themselves in a state of depression, we really have a duty to pray for them, for God to come and shine upon their lives, open their eyes, meet them, and change their entire life. So this is what I got, Pastor Stephen, when Pastor Laf was explaining his story. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Okay, I'll answer his question about depression, or a very simple definition of depression It means, well, as Pastor Chris was already talking about, no hope. No hope. You can't see that you've got any future. You got no, you can see no way through the problem. You're totally hopeless, and you get to the, or you can get to the place where you assume you have no future, and you start to think, well, maybe I'd be better off dead. And that, of course, is the enemy's goal, but it's a lie. You are not better off dead, ever. It's only ever going to be better if you get connected up with the, your Creator who loves you and cares for you, the Lord Jesus. Invite Him into your heart and life, and then you have a future. I've been going now for 45 years, and I don't know how much further I can go, but I'm going to keep going until I can't go in anymore, because now I have a hope. Now I have a future. And things that I didn't think would ever happen, like being ordained to the ministry, that was not something that I thought would ever happen. I knew there was a call on my life, but not something I had made provision for. But here he is. I have it now. And, yeah, I'm just continuing to press in for more of being able to work in such a way as a teacher to help people build themselves up in their faith and strengthen themselves and know that there's a hope for them. There's a hope and a future for every single one. In fact, if we understand it correctly, God, we were known to Him before He created the heavens and the earth. He knew us already, and He had a plan for our lives. He had a plan. He had a plan for good, and for blessing, and for eternal life for us. And all we need to do is call on Him and ask Him, Father, can I get restored to that plan, the good plan that You had for me in the beginning? And now I have a hope, I have a future, and there is no depression in me, because I have hope, as Pastor Chris was saying. The difference for the whole nation was hope. So thank you for that.
Amen. Well, I want to jump in here and give the definition also for depression, because it's a mood disorder that causes persistent feelings of sadness, emptiness, loss, joy, and a whole bunch of other feelings, negative feelings and emotions. And I want to stress the fact that it is a feeling and it is an emotion. And as believers of Jesus Christ, one of the things I would like to say is that a lot of times when we respond to our feelings and to our emotions, we come into agreement with a lying spirit, because what we're feeling is real, but we don't have to come into agreement with it. Because God said, by His stripes we are healed. So whatever feeling that we're feeling, whether it's mental, physical, or spiritual, or psychological, we deal with it. And yes, this feeling that I have, it is real, but don't take ownership of it. And what I mean by that, I just recently, you know, funeralized my mom on August the 25th. And because I took care of her during, you know, her time of sickness, I experienced a wide variety of feelings and emotions. And sometimes I felt heavy, pastors. And sometimes I did feel depressed because I was overwhelmed with taking care of her by myself. And then seeing her in the condition that she was in, plenty of times I had to cry out to God. And plenty of times I felt like, you know, I can't do this. But I kept saying, Philippians 4:13. God, I feel like I can't do this, but I'm going to stand on your word because your word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm sharing that as an example for those of you that are struggling. May not be my story, but you have something that you're battling with and you're responding to your feelings and you're responding to your emotions. So one of the number one ways to deal with whatever feelings or emotion it is, whether it's depression, whether it's being frustrated or irritated. And these are some of the cohorts that the enemy loves to use because when we get irritated and frustrated, the spirit of exasperation is waiting right around the corner. And the goal is to get us so caught up in what's happening that we don't even think about the word of God. We don't think about the blood of Jesus. We don't think about we're more than conquerors and overcomers. All the enemy wants to do is to zap us into a whole world of negativity where we don't see a way out. And it is very important to understand this because, Pastor Ralph, one of the things you kept saying, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you accepted, you know, the Holy Spirit and you was born again. There are a lot of unbelievers that struggle with depression and heaviness, but there are a lot of believers that also struggle with depression and with suicidal thoughts. And my goal today, along with everyone that's on the panel, is whether you're a believer or a non-believer, we want to provide information to help you see that there is a better way to deal with your depression or your feelings and your emotions. And one of the things we, as believers, we have to learn how to really stand on the word of God and learn how to provide practical application of his word. But when we're in the middle of a crisis, is it that easy? If you are a new believer in Christ, like, do they know to depend on the word of God like that? You know, so this is a very, very good conversation and interview, and there's so many different levels of depression and even feelings of being, you know, suicidal. And I wanted to give a couple of the symptoms of depression. And if you find yourself sleeping a lot and you don't want to go out, you go to work, you come home from work, all you want to do is eat and go to sleep. And sometimes you don't even want to go to work or you just dread getting up. Those are signs that something is wrong. So if you have a loved one, if you have a friend, if it's your husband or your wife, and their behavior has changed in a negative way, and they all they want to do is sleep, they no longer talking, laughing like they used to, that is a sign, a warning sign of depression. Now, if someone's behavior changes and suddenly they're irritable all of the time and they're angry and they're confrontational, antagonistic, that's also a sign of depression. And as both pastors said, Pastor Ralph and Pastor Christopher, they said that hopelessness and feeling helpless is a sign of depression, feeling nervous and restless and crying a lot. And this one is really big. When we make mistakes, when we fall short of the glory of God, the enemy loves to make us feel worthless and condemnation sets in. And that is one of the biggest reasons that believers fall into condemnation and depression because the enemy focused on a mistake and like will not is relentless with allowing you to really stay in agreement with the truth of who you are. So whenever you do fall short of the glory of God, it's important that you get back up knowing who you are in Christ Jesus because you are not the mistake that you made. So don't allow the mistake to steal your voice, to steal your power or your authority because once that happens, then the depression is like crouching in the grass like a lion in the wilderness waiting for its prey. and your scent of your woundedness, of your brokenness, is the lion smells it. So he's waiting for that opportunity to come pounce on you. And then once that happens, it's like you don't see a way out. All you see is doom and gloom, and the enemy begins to attack your mind, and now you don't think about positive things. You're thinking about what happened. You're rehearsing the pain. And whatever mistake you made, if it caused hurt and pain to somebody else, now you're double feeling overwhelmed because you know that you hurt somebody. And so the enemy loves to focus on this with the flashbacks, with feelings of regret, feelings of remorse, telling you lies like people are never going to forgive you, God is not going to forgive you. And so we really have to beware of the lies of the enemy. And all of this causes you to have trouble sleeping. So all of these are symptoms of depression. And if you have small children or if you have adult children, children that are in college, if they have really good grades in school, but then their grades start changing and they start failing in their courses, that's a sign that something is going on. So out of the warning signs that I shared so far, if you recognize any of these symptoms within yourself or within someone close to you, that is a good opportunity, one, to start praying for them. Go in the intercessory prayer. Talk to God first and let God lead you with how to proceed. Because when you're dealing with someone that's struggling with depression and they're suicidal, if you go to them prematurely, you can escalate their situation. So we never want to go in our own strength. We want to pray first and let God lead us with what to do. Because God may give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. God may tell you specifically how to pray for them. Or he may say, don't say anything to them at all. You gave it to me. Let me handle it. And then God can raise up somebody more experienced to approach the person. Because sometimes if it's a loved one, they may resist us. They may not listen to us. But we don't want to make the situation worse. So it's real important that we use wisdom. And we really should do that with any situation because sometimes as intercessors, we do see certain things, but it's not always, you know, we have to pay attention to God's timing. Because sometimes if we go before God and we say something, and we may have their best interest at heart, but it could put them in harm's way. And we don't want to do that. So I'm going to pause here for a moment to allow both of you to respond to anything I just said, and then I'm going to introduce you all to author Mike Smith and bring him on the mic.
Oh, we're looking at each other thinking, I think you've said it all and said it very, very eloquently. So go ahead and introduce me.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will do that. Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor Christopher.
Thank you so much. You have really tackled all the areas as to how depression comes in the life of somebody, being overwhelmed. Like last in the first place, as he was sharing his testimony, said he found himself in that kind of depression because of the wrong decisions that he had taken in his life. And before he came into Christ. And then when you came in, you have now showed other windows as how to depression comes in the life of somebody that overwhelmed by maybe the duties that you have or the responsibilities that you have and that you so huge and you find that maybe you cannot afford. And then you begin to think much as to what to do, what extra effort to put on so as to solve that kind of a problem. And then you have said another thing that happens by nature in our lives, the loss of our beloved ones. And the Pastor Ralph again mentioned that one, the loss of our beloved ones. And we found that maybe there are the people that we were trusting all in our lives. We are trusting. We had that kind of security each time we see them. And you find that all of a sudden they depart from our life by nature. They depart from our life. And then depression again comes in. And depression can come in again. Maybe you are fired from work. You didn't expect it, and then you are simply fired from work. So I just wanted to enlighten or either to give more light on these kind of things that the depression comes in our lives from different sources because that is the weapon the enemy uses to confuse the children of God. It might not be a wrong decision. It might be just by nature something has happened to you, and then you see yourself now you are finished, so to say, in other vocabulary. You call yourself, I'm finished. This thing has happened to me, then I'm finished. And then you begin to think. But as you have put it rightly to say, we need not to lose hope. Because before that thing happens to us, God has already seen it in our life and has already created a way out.
Amen.
So we need just to encourage ourselves, as the Bible says in 1 Samuel, when David found himself in that kind of a situation, when he was coming from war, and when he was approaching his city, he found that the city was on fire. And everybody had been taken into captivity. And the soldiers started thinking of stoning him. But the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
So each time we face such kind of, we face a depression, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but Amen. This is what I just wanted to add on.
Pastor Ralph, Pastor Christopher, thank you so much. I love what you just said because you have been connecting everything with the Word of God, which I absolutely love. And there's so many scriptures in the Word that deal with this topic. And Pastor Ralph, we're going to come back to Isaiah, the 61st chapter and verse 3 in a little bit, because God, in the beginning of your testimony, God really used you to give a demonstration of binding and loosing, because you was filled with depression, and you mentioned you had a black heart. But in Isaiah 63, where it talks about the spirit of heaviness, you exchanged the spirit of heaviness for the oil of joy. And you exchanged the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. So when you started laughing and giggling and just enjoying yourself in the Lord, you were saying, spirit of heaviness, your assignment is over. You got to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so later when we open up for prayer, we're going to show people how to apply Matthew 18:18 that says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, and then we're going to show them how to bind that spirit of heaviness and just loose, you know, everything that's written in Isaiah 61 and verse 3. So thank you so much. And at this time, I want to introduce everyone to author Mike Smith. Hi, Mike. Your microphone is open.
Hi, Stacy. Is everybody else?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just another day at work.
Okay.
I'm here, though.
Okay, so what would you like to bring to the conversation? Do you have a question for Pastor Ralph or Pastor Christopher or anything you want to share?
Well, I mean, you know my story of all the emotional abuse I've taken in my life, from being bullied as a child to emotional abuse as an adult. And, you know, a lot of times people start to think, you know, when they're going through things like that, that they are who the people say they are. But the Lord showed me that, you know, and told me that you're not who those people say you are. You're who I say you are. And a lot of people out there probably don't realize that, you know, just like Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, you know, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And are carefully and wonderfully made. You know, people need to understand that regardless of what others say or Satan says, they're a child of God and they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God was pleased with them when he created them, and he's still pleased with them right now and always will be, because he made the person. You know, it took me a while to you know, grasp what that truly meant. But, you know, now I know, you know, that I'm his, and there's nobody can say anything different to me in regards to that. I know a lot of depression comes from, you know, like you said, beating yourself up over mistakes you made. But I always say, don't use your mistakes as a beat me up session, because like you said, we all fall short of the glory of God. Use it as a learning tool to do things different next time. And you know, understand, well, that didn't work this time. Maybe if I try something different, it'll work the next time. And you know, never give up.
Hey, man.
I kind of like to call myself the pastor of encouragement, because that's kind of what I feel the role of the Lord is wanting me to take on me. So in addition to the book that I wrote last year, now I started a series called Messages of Hope, where, you know, one of the topics I talk about is trusting in the Lord, you know, based out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Okay, so before we go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you mentioned negative words, you know, and being
right.
in abusive situations and stuff. So how can you connect those negative words to this topic? Like the negative things that people were saying to you about you, was it causing you to enter into depression or heaviness? Like how did those negative words affect you? And then how did you overcome it?
At times, you know, I felt pretty down from what I was experiencing, because it seemed like it was never ending. And I'd find myself in one situation after another where I'd hear a lot of the same things from different people. So I used to, you know, believe that I was kind of a nobody, that I didn't matter. And you know, so then when I finally got into a place, you know, a location where I got away from all the chaos and the negativity, was when I started hearing God telling me that I am somebody, I do matter, I'm valuable, I'm significant, you know, things like that. And that's when I started to kind of climb out of that hole of, you know, negative self-worth.
It is through the help of God that you came out of that depression and the negative things that you had started believing. Now, I'm aware of your testimony, but our radio listeners and Pastor Ralph and Pastor Christopher, they are not. So you recently wrote a book entitled Yes, You Are. So could you tell us about that book? And is there an excerpt in the book that is connected to what we're talking about? That you can,
yeah,
like, can you demonstrate, like, something negative that was said to you? And what can you say to help somebody, like, refute the lies of the enemy and speak God's word into their situation? And that was a loaded question, so you could break it apart if you like.
Yeah, I mean, when the Lord, the book came about because the Lord wanted me to tell my story, because, you know, for most of my life, like I said, I was always around people who like to criticize, judge, condemn, manipulate, and control. And when I got away from that and started hearing the Lord speaking to me about what it says in Psalm 139, he told me that he wanted me to write my story. So that's basically what I did. And it's meant to show people that you are who God says you are, not who people say you are.
So did writing the book help you overcome your feelings of depression?
It did. I mean, I when I started, you know, putting things together in this book, you know, I started to realize more and more, you know, just how powerful words are. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody says them to us or we say them to ourselves. One of the things that I found out is I can't repeat what others have told me much of my life. You know, I had to get into God's word and see what he had to say about me. And so when I wrote the book, you know, I came up with, you know, not only different stories, but a series of prayers where you can thank God that you are whatever a particular scripture says, or you are what God says. So that's how I pretty much, you know, came to writing the book. And one of the things that, you know, I know I've done, and a story in the book is that I wrote called A 21-Gun Salute. And basically what that's saying is, you know, what are our words worthy of? You know, are our words worthy of 21 angels singing the praises to God for him, or 21 demons shooting fiery darts at us? You know, Proverbs 18:21 says power of life and death is in the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. So, you know, our words need to bear good fruit all the time. And, you know, I learned that, you know, I have to, you know, speak good things of myself according to what, you know, God's word says about me.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, that's
so, Pastor Christopher and Pastor Ralph, what's your take on that with the negative words that's spoken to us?
Well, yeah, I really I like what Mike was saying, and that what I did, I connected it with. He said, "I am His." In other words, he was identifying himself. He was affirming his identity. He knew who he was in Christ, and affirming that to himself. And that makes all the difference for so many people. When you know who you are in Christ, that he cares for you, he loves you, and he's continually trying to improve your life and improve your attitude and improve who you think you are, so that you are continually being reminded who he is. It's in Isaiah in one place that the Lord encouraged me more than one time by this, as a scripture there. I just can't think of it right now, but it basically it says, I'm not going to quote it correctly. Anyway, it just says that he knows my name. That is that special, that the God created the whole heavens and earth and universe and everyone in it, and he knows my name. That is so special to me. And he's developed all kinds of little ways of reminding me that he knows who I am. So he knows where I am. He knows what's happening in my life because he knows everything about me, and he still loves me, and he still cares,
yes.
And I am his. I love that expression from Mike. I am his. Amen. It doesn't matter what anyone else has to say. I am his. And what an awesome identity to know that you're his. You're one of his children, and he's your father. Wow.
Yes.
You can go through a whole lot when you know your identity. You know who you are in Christ. Thank you for that, Mike.
You're welcome.
Yes.
And I'm going to jump in right there. Oh, go ahead, Pastor Christopher.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mike, the very powerful words that you have just shared. You say you know your identity. You know, as Pastor Stetzer was giving us the definition of depression, he says it's a feeling, something that you feel. And, you know, you were saying some ways, negative ways that have been said upon your life. You did not agree with them. You know, words are very, very powerful. And we know that words, everything that we see was created. God used his words. So words really affect somebody's life. If he or she accepts the negative words that his ears or her ears hears those words, you know, when you let them in those words, and then you begin to meditate on those words, they build something in you. You become conformed to those words that have been spoken in your life.
Mm.
So, and in this case, we are talking of negative words. You did not want your life to be conformed to those negative words that were being said or aired upon your life. So you rose against those words to say, no, I'm not like these words say. I'm not described by these words. I'm described by the word of God. I know who I am. So that's a very, very powerful, as Pastor Laffers again said, that's a very, very powerful. He says, if you know your identity, you can go further. You can go long way when you have known who you are. So in this case, you knew, or you have known who you are in Christ Jesus, in God, that you are not right, the ways that the negative ways that you held. So you rose above those ways and you say, I am not like this kind of ways. I'm not described by this ways. I'm described by the word of God. I'm described by God himself. I'm a treasured possession of God. I'm the loyal, peculiar person. So you rose against it. That's very, very powerful. That helps one to rise from, I mean, to get rid of the depression that one has in life. You say, no, I'm not going to be conformed to this kind of situation. I'm not finished, or I've not lost hope. I'm still breathing. And the fact that I've got life, God has got purpose with me. So thank you so much, Mike, for that powerful voice. This is what I just wanted to add on, Pastor Steph.
You're welcome. Thank you. One of the things that I thought about, too, is, you know, whenever someone's speaking negative words to you, you can look right at them and say, I don't receive that. I'm who God says I am, not who you say I am.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And start rejecting those words that are coming from others.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know Satan's behind it all.
And sometimes, though, you're going to be in a situation where this person has power over your life or authority,
mm-hmm.
and speaking against them is going to be difficult, but you still don't have to receive mm-hmm. what they have to say. You don't have to take it into yourself. Even if you can't speak back in a situation, you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to take that word as meaning who you are. You don't have to do that. And, you don't. Sometimes there will be situations where you really can't out loud refuse to hear what someone has to say, but you can still refuse what they have to say on the inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. This is really a good topic and a wonderful discussion. And sometimes we speak negative words to ourselves. And we have to learn how to see our own self-worth, because if we really don't believe or have the full knowledge of understanding what being fearfully and wonderfully made by God means, or even understanding that we was created in his image, then we're going to relate to whatever it is that's been spoken about us. And if you're not strong enough and the enemy has beat you down so bad by using people, then you'll come into agreement with that and you'll start speaking negative about yourself. Oh, I can't do that. I wish I could, be a good painter like that. I would really like that job. And, you begin to talk yourself out of things that God said you can do. So we must also practice speaking life and speaking positive to ourselves. One of the main tools that the enemy uses is people. But when we get into that dark place, we speak negative words. And the key here is whether we speak positive, which is positive faith, which is speaking life, or whether we speak death, which is negative faith, which speaks death. Either way, faith is being born. If we speak something, positive, then we're going to see it manifest. If we speak something negative, we're going to see that thing manifest. So if we see something negative and we begin to speak it, that little hill is going to turn into a stronghold. But if we speak something positive, and I'm going to give an example in a moment, but if we speak something positive, that little molehill is going to become a fruitful mountain that's going to be beautiful. It's going to have green, luscious trees and flowers and the grass, and everything is just full of life. But where we spoke death, that mountain is going to be dark. It's going to be gloomy. The trees are going to, they're not going to have leaves. Everything is going to be dry. Everything is going to look dead. And so that is the difference. And we need to really, I hope people get a visual of what I'm saying, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So sometimes we create our own moods of depression by being negative. And we cannot help everybody with just one broadcast. This takes time. But depending on where your faith is and just really being honest and reaching out to God and asking for his help. And some people just simply need to know what to do, which is what we're showing them how to do it. So, Pastor Ralph, when you was talking about God knowing your name, I thought about Isaiah 43 and verse 1. And it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine."
Amen.
So we need to understand that, one, we are the chosen ones. We have been adopted, into God's family. And when trouble comes, when those waters of affliction begin to rise up against us, verse 2, it says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? We'll see that in verse 3. It says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee. And
amen.
Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. And so in verse 5, he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east end, from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And this is God's promise to us. This is such a prophetic scripture. But God is telling us what to do and how to do it. So if anyone is listening and you are dealing with depression, you are having negative thoughts, you speak negative about yourself, you believe the negative things you've been saying, when you walk through the fire, the flame is not going to kindle upon you. You might be in the hottest part of the battle right now. But if you have faith and come into agreement with God's word and reject what the enemy is saying to you, your situation, bam, it's going to turn around just like that. So we want you to start listening more to God than you listen to yourself and listen to other people. Because other people, amen, they want to see you fall short. They want to see you come out of agreement with God's word so that you'll never come into the fullness of what God has called you to be. So all four of us on this line tonight, we see greatness inside of you. We know that you are more than conqueror. We know that you are an overcomer. We know that you are victorious in Christ Jesus. And now we want you to know that. We want you to understand how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. And then I want to speak to men for a moment, because when Pastor Ralph opened up his testimony, he said he was married, he had a wife, and he had children, but they were struggling financially. And Ralph, the Holy Spirit just fell upon me. There are so many fathers, there are so many men that are struggling financially, and they can't take care of their families, and they feel ashamed, and that spirit of humiliation comes in, and embarrassment. But when a man can't take care of his family, that makes him feel unworthy. And this legitimate is real feelings, right? And so the enemy tries to come with, you know, that depression and that heaviness to cause him to display behavior that's not true to his nature. So I want us to zero in prayer and pray for every man, every father that is struggling with taking care and providing for his wife and children. And may God open up doors for them that will allow them to get an increase on their job. May God give them a promotion. May God increase their salary. And even in the midst of God doing these things, may their mindset change supernaturally through our prayers and declarations, and the word of God come alive inside of them to dislodge all of the negativity, all of the hurt, the pain, the shame, the humiliation. Because I feel so strong in my spirit that a lot of men need to be set free in this area. So, Ralph, I want you to pray. I mean, anybody can respond to what I just said. And after the comments, then Pastor Ralph, if you can pray. And then Pastor Christopher, if you could pray as well. We'll just go around and pray as God leads us.
Amen. Well, amen. Thank you, Stacy, for Isaiah 43. That is highlighted in my Bible because that is the word that the Lord gave me. And it mentions three sons. I have three sons. So this is also a covenant for me, that the father is going to look after my three sons. I call on that as a covenant so many times. So thank you for quoting it for us. And then just go back before I pray to, I think it was Mike who triggered the thought in me about speaking negative words about yourself or to yourself. In Psalm 77, verse 3, it says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Complaining, if you remember God in a negative way, you don't know him personally in a way that he is to your blessing. So if you remember God and you're troubled, maybe you need to repent of that thought and or ask him to give you new thoughts about himself. So when you remember him, they become good thoughts. So I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. We got to be really careful about what we say, especially about ourselves. Because if you keep saying the negative thoughts, your spirit will be overwhelmed and you may wind up in a place you don't want to be, contemplating taking your own life. Anyway.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you so very much for your word and your encouragement and your promises, Father, that you will help, that you care, that you know us by name, you know who we are, where we are, and you know our situation. And so, Father, we thank you for those men who are struggling to provide for their families. They're trying to do what's right because they know it's the right thing to do. They know it's the right thing the Father wants them to do, Father, to provide for their families. So, Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would abundantly provide, as your word says, abundantly provide for all of our needs. Father, we thank you for these men who are feeling worthless or depressed because they're struggling so hard to do what's right, to support their families, their wives, their children. Father, we ask first that you would come to them with the joy of the Lord to become their strength. Father, that you would fill their hearts with the joy and the confidence of Isaiah 43, that you know their name and that you care about their children so that you're always, always aware of their need and always aware of looking for opportunity to bless them. So, Father, we ask that you would reveal yourself to these men in how they can multiply what it is that they're doing. Father, that they can be paid more for what they're doing. Or, Father, maybe even take a bold move and find a better job and a godly boss, Father. And, Father, thank you that not only can you do more than we can think and ask, but you said you can do exceedingly abundantly upon all that we can ask for think. So, Father, we thank you that you will provide, you can provide, and you will provide as these men who are struggling to provide for their families, Father, that you will provide more than they can think of or expect. So please, Father, pour out your confidence in them that you know their situation, that you care, and that you can and will provide as they turn and look to you for their provision. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace, O Lord. Father, we pray forever out there, O Lord, flesh on. Father, who does not see, Father, the way out? Who is overwhelmed with the responsibility, Lord? Father, those who have lost their beloved one and they are depressed, O Lord. Father, we offer our prayer before your throne of grace, O Lord. We speak of your mercy, your grace, Father, upon them. You open up, Father, their eyes and see, Lord, that your eyes are upon them, that you know, Lord, the number of their hairs, O Lord, and even their name is written, Father, Lord. Their names are written, Father, on your palm. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord, arise upon them, Abba, Father, shine, Lord. A way, Father, Lord, for them where it seems to be no way, Lord. Open doors, Father, Lord, for their finances. Open new doors, Father, Lord, for the love that they want to see in their lives, Father. Lord, I proclaim the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. In the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord Jesus, it is written in your word, Abba Father, that every written code that stood against us, Abba Father, you brought it out, O Lord. You made it publicly shown it, Abba Father, that you conquered the enemy. You disarmed him, O Lord. Father, thank you, Father, that whatever the enemy is trying to bring upon people's lives, O Lord, you dealt with it on the cross. You finished it, Abba Father. Lord, we rise above, Father, the works of the enemy. Your word says, O Lord, for this reason the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Father, we pray, Lord, let this work of the enemy, the depression as the work of the enemy, Father, be destroyed upon the lives of the people in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, that each time we kneel and we ask of your mercy, your grace, and your favor, Lord, you hear our prayer. Father, thank you that you have heard our prayer right now, O Lord, and you are touching the lives of the people. Father, you are hearing their hearts, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mike, you want to pray?
Sure. Anyway, Father God, we come before your throne right now, Lord, and we just thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we thank you for everyone who's on this call that may be listening to the sounds of our voices. Lord, help those out there that are struggling to recognize where thoughts come from. All good thoughts come from you, and all bad thoughts come from Satan, regardless of how they're spoken to us. So I just pray, according to 2 Corinthians 10:5, for everyone that says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I'm praying you show people, Lord, how to take those thoughts captive, to reject the bad ones and embrace the good ones and continue to seek more good thoughts. Lord, I pray that everyone out there will be able to think like it says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I just pray everyone out there just allows God to flood their minds with nothing but thoughts like these, and let the joy of the Lord fill them to the brim. And I thank you, Father, for all that you do and will continue to do, in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you this afternoon. We praise you. And we praise you, God, knowing that you are sending ambushments against the enemy this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We praise you, oh God, knowing that you are demolishing the spirit of heaviness. We praise you, oh God, knowing that you are destroying the works of the enemy. For you said in your word that if we ask anything in your name, that you would do it. Father, you also said in your word that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You said whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, Father, in our priestly position in the spirit realm, we bind the spirit of death. We bind the spirit of murder. We bind the spirit of suicide. We bind the spirit of spiritual abortion, premature death being associated through the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression, the spirit of oppression, and every area where every man has been bound by the spirit of bondage, the spirit of humiliation and the spirit of shame and embarrassment and feeling like he is not good enough or worthy enough to take care of his family, to take care of his children, and he doesn't feel worthy enough, God, to believe that you love him in his beat down condition. But, Father, when you look at these men, you don't see the problems, the trials, and the tribulations that they are going through. Because when you look at these men, you see the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. So we cover these men right now, God, with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for saturating them with the blood of your son. We ask, oh God, that you would give them a blood bath. We ask, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that as we activate your word in Isaiah 61 and verse 3, God, because we bind the spirit of depression. And we bind the spirit of heaviness. We curse it at the root and command it to wither and die. In the name of Jesus, let every assignment against these men die in the name of Jesus. Let every supervisor, every manager and supervisor, every coworker that has been provoking these men on their job, let every spirit of blockage, every barricade that has been blocking them from advancing forward in their jobs where they can receive that promotion so that they can... Excuse me, so that they can take care of their family. Father, we ask that you would remove it. We ask in the name of Jesus that you go before them and make the crooked places straight. Father, according to your word, we bind the spirit of heaviness and we loose the garment of praise.
Amen.
Sorry, I had to get some water. And we loose the garment of praise, and we loose the oil of joy, and we loose the spirit of the beauty of ashes for the oil of joy. And so, Father, just like Ralph, he started laughing uncontrollably. And joy entered into his heart. Joy entered into his soul. Joy entered into his spirit. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that all of the prayers that has went forth, that you are loosing a spirit of laughter, holy laughter upon these men, and they may not understand it. And like Ralph, they may have to reach out to somebody and say, listen, I've been feeling so down and out, but all of a sudden, I started laughing and my heart filled with joy. I don't know what's happening to me. So, God, we thank you that you have anointed men of God in position, ready to answer their questions, ready to stand in the gap with them, oh, God, ready to open up the word of God, ready to embrace them, oh, God, ready to fast and pray with them, oh, God, ready to take them under their wings, ready to undergird them, oh, God, because you have a plan and you have an assignment. And right now, oh, God, we ask that you activate your plan. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would activate your purpose for these men's lives. Now, God, I pray in the name of Jesus for the women that have been standing in the gap for their husbands, and they feel their hurt, they feel their pain. They've been crying out to you from the bitterest part of their soul. Some of the wives have become discouraged themselves because of the lowly estate of their husband, past tense. But God, we thank you for activating the prayers and the tears that they have already prayed for their husbands. And we thank you for divine reversals. We thank you for divine intervention, and we thank you for how you are turning things around in their favor. So let these wives get in position to relinquish the role they've been playing as the husband, because she's been working and she's been the breadwinner. But God, you're turning things around, and now the father is going to take that rightful place because you heard our cries. And we place a demand on your word because you said when we call unto you that you would answer us. You said if we ask anything in Jesus' name that you would do it. So God, we expect answered prayers. We may not hear the praise reports, but we know, oh God, that men all around the world are being restored and they're getting enough money on their jobs and their positions to take care of their children and to provide for their children. But most of all, we thank you that their disposition is changing. We thank you that their countenance is changing because you have brought them out of the darkness and to your marvelous light. And now their wives that you have called to be the helpmates to help the men, they are going to be helpmates. They are going to come alongside their husband and be that encouragement to him and be a great source of help to him. So we celebrate you as we say hallelujah. We thank you in advance, God, for hearing our prayers. And we thank you for making a way of escape for any young man, any young boy, any teenagers, any college students that have been struggling with depression. Because, God, many of them have committed suicide over the last couple of months in these summer months. But we arrest that spirit of suicide right now in the name of Jesus. And we loose resurrection life, and we loose resurrection power in the name of Jesus. We seal these prayers with the blood and fire of God, binding the spirit of retaliation and backlash. Father, I cover Pastor Ralph, Pastor Christopher, and Christian author Mike Smith with the blood of your son Jesus Christ, and I thank you for setting up perimeters around them that the enemy cannot and will not cross in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So at this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Ralph to please give your closing remarks, and after him, Pastor Ralph, when you give your closing remarks, also please give any information you want to share for information regarding the ministry you do with Resurrection Life and the days that you actually teach and minister. And then Pastor Christopher, when he finishes, please give the information about your ministry in Malawi and how people can get in contact with you. And then, Mike, you could give your closing remarks, and you can do the same thing. And we're going to go in that order. But thank you all so much for a wonderful broadcast.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Father, for an awesome broadcast. Father, for wisdom that came from so many directions. And Father, thank you that in all of this, we know that we have a hope, we have a future, that you know who we are, where we are, and what our needs are even before we ask. Father, what a blessing it is to know you personally, to know that you know us personally, and you care about every little thing that's happening to us and around us. And Father, thank you for that. It's just an awesome, awesome gift. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to know you and be known by you. And Father, hallelujah. As far as the ministry, if you'll find me pretty regularly on, if you go on Facebook under Ray Johnson, you'll find a whole lot of the teaching is there that I do on Saturdays in particular. Or if you go on Facebook and you search for God is in the Ark, A-R-C, that's the Apostolic Resurrection Life Center, Training Center, Ark, God is in the Ark. You'll find almost every week, there have been a few exceptions, you'll find some teaching that I've been doing. And if you happen to be in that kind of a place where you need someone to talk to, my phone is area code 204-764-0001. Number one. So if you're in that kind of a place, you need someone to pray, you can call me personally. Otherwise, Resurrection Life Ministries International, you can do any searching on that, and you'll find Ray and Leslie Johnson, and you'll find a great number of different outlets on Facebook and on YouTube. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity.
Amen.
To share our heart with your family.
Thank you, Pastor Stacey, for inviting me on this radio talk. It has been so wonderful. And the topic was one of the topics that we deal with a lot of people in our church. That's one of the kind of the things that the enemy is using so much to steal people from God. So thank you so much again for the insight that you have brought. It was a wonderful. Thank you so much, Pastor Love and Mike over there. God bless you so much. Well, my name is Pastor Christopher. I'm Lima from Malawi. I'm ministering my ministry. My church in Malawi is Love Word Church. Malawi is Central Africa. When you go to the map of Africa and you search Malawi, you find it there. I'm in the city called Mzuzu. So my when somebody wants to contact me or to find me, more on Facebook, you'll find me there. Facebook, that's Christopher Mwamlima. Christopher Mwamlima. Most of the people find it a problem to pronounce the last name Mwamlima.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's M-W-A-M-L-I-M-A, Mwamlima. So I'm there, Christopher Mwamlima. That's where one can find me most of the time. You see prayers. I pray for people. So you can also contact me on WhatsApp. On WhatsApp, I don't know if you have got app. Most of the people, they say they do not have WhatsApp, but WhatsApp, my number on WhatsApp is +265. 888-59-4059. Again, +265-888-59-4059. There you'll find me, Christopher Mwamlima. That is on WhatsApp. Thank you so much, Pastor they say. These are one of the ways that I have to add on this wonderful program. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you. Okay, Mike, you're next.
Okay, well, I just want to say